The culmination of diet and lifestyle patterns that determine which system or organs will be affected. So if you have a family history of mental illness, you'll be more prone to fungus affecting the brain. If you have a personal history of fibroids and endometriosis, yeast can affect your reproductive system. Sometimes an injury can make an organ, joint, or system susceptible to fungal damage. Candida is an opportunistic pathogen that way. It hits you where you're already most vulnerable. When Candida causes endocrine imbalances. One of the more common manifestations of Candida overgrowth that I see occurs in the endocrine system, which consists of the hypothalamus, the pituitary, thyroid, thymus, and adrenal glands, the pancreas, and the ovaries or testes. This complex system of organs and glands is the source of the hormones necessary for a host of essential functions, including growth, metabolism, sexual development and function, hunger and satiety signals, and sleep and mood. It's also incredibly vulnerable to Candida for a number of biomedical reasons. Researchers have long documented the relationship between specific hormones and Candida. For example, a study conducted at the University of Des Moines, Iowa, concluded that excess estrogen accelerates the growth and survivability of Candida. Perhaps it's no surprise that women taking estrogen replacement therapy and oral contraceptives also experience higher incidences of candidiasis. In addition, candidiasis can mimic endocrine imbalances and possibly compete for receptor sites that are targeted by endocrine gland excretion. And in hormone-related conditions where Candida is not the primary cause, an anti-Candida program can help to alleviate the symptoms of hypothyroidism, adrenal fatigue, PMS, and hypoglycemia. This is because the primary aggravators of these conditions are a poor diet that's heavy in refined carbohydrates and sugar, and unmanaged stress. The secondary aggravator is yeast overgrowth. As I've mentioned, every bodily system is affected by yeast. And when you clean out the yeast, you will notice improvements across these systems as you tap into the body's natural ability to heal itself. Candida and the gut-brain connection. Since the late 1990s, an increasing number of scientists have referred to the gut as the second brain. Of course, not because your intestines actually think, but because of the enteric nervous system, the previously overlooked network of more than 100 million nerve cells lining the digestive tract. This network facilitates a two-way communication channel. The gut communicates with the brain, and the brain communicates with the gut. This chatter is responsible for everything from anxiety-induced digestion problems to excited butterflies in your stomach. I'm reminded of the intimate mind-gut connection whenever I see a client who suffers from GI disorders after having been treated with antidepressant medications such as serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs. Serotonin is the neurotransmitter necessary for maintaining mood balance and regulating sleep. 80 to 90% of it is produced in your gut, and the rest is produced by your brain. Researchers are discovering new and fascinating pathways for disease-related processes to progress from the gut to the brain. One of the more interesting is a direct route via the vagus nerve, which extends from the abdomen to the brainstem. A 2016 California Institute of Technology study found a conclusive link between gut microbes and the development of Parkinson's-like movement disorders in mice. And subsequent research out of Sweden, published in Neurology, discovered that the disease appears to be triggered by a protein in the stomach that, in fact, spreads to the brain via the vagus nerve. I have to wonder if Candida travels in a similar way. And I believe we should devote the time, energy, and funding to study exactly what mechanisms yeast might use to cross the blood-brain barrier, affect or send messages to the brain from the gut, or travel a different pathway altogether. After all, a team of scientists at the University of Madrid recently discovered fungal infection in the cerebrospinal fluid and brain tissue of patients with ALS. And in a separate study, the same team found fungi-infected areas in the brains of patients with Alzheimer's. How did they get there? In a 2016 article in the Alternative Medicine Journal Townsend Letter, David Steenblok, an osteopathic physician from San Clemente, California, has shown remarkable success with reversing ALS in patients and has suggested a new pathway based on his patients' medical histories. He's come to believe that the disease may occur after repetitive neck injuries that introduce an opening, or break, between the blood and cerebrospinal fluid. This, he hypothesizes, allows toxins to enter the spinal cord and cause injury and death to motor neurons. What's more, he believes the toxic infection in question is usually a combination of yeast and bacteria, and he estimates that 90 to 95% of these cases begin in the gut. When it comes to mental and emotional well-being, gut-based origins play a role here too. Emily Severance, a researcher at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, further advanced the mind-gut connection when she discovered a link between a history of candida infections and higher rates of mental illness, including schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. It makes perfect sense that when yeast attacks the gut, the brain is subsequently affected. Nevertheless, many physicians still assume that all mental and emotional imbalances have psychological causes, such as neuroses or psychoses, rather than brain-related causes. Some studies even point to an infectious catalyst for certain psychiatric illnesses. For instance, multiple studies have shown that the antibiotic minocycline is effective in treating schizophrenia-related symptoms. While I'm no fan of excessive antibiotics, I do believe this demonstrates that what we once too easily tossed off as a mental symptom could actually come from a pathogen disrupting normal brain function and physiology. Having anxiety, depression, or any other psychiatric manifestation of an illness can be debilitating, and it's important to understand that the cause may not be purely psychological, but also physiological. The mind-gut connection means that what you put in your body, the food you eat, and any medications you take, impacts your nervous system, as well as your mood, energy, vitality, and weight. Mycotoxins from fungus need to be considered when tackling these conditions. When this is a contributing factor, clearing fungal overgrowth from the system will help clear your mind and bring your body chemistry back into balance. Congratulations! You now know more about Candida than most doctors. By now, it probably seems more than a little obvious to you that your health issue is either being caused, or at least fed, by Candida. So how can this fungus, that can have such a significant and widespread impact on your health, receive so little airtime in the media, and often none at most doctors' offices? Part of the issue is that the Western medical model doesn't support a holistic view of the body. We have specialists for every body part and system, and yet few doctors look at the body as a whole and investigate how these systems overlap. As we've discussed, your gut health is foundational for your overall health. And yet, how many gastroenterologists are considering the ways in which your abdominal pain might be linked to stress? How many endocrinologists are assessing your digestive health? Western medicine is divided into specialties, and until we look at the body as a whole, we will never recognize the underlying conditions for disease. My other concern is that most doctors tend to look at symptoms as problems to be treated, instead of urgent signals from the body that must be carefully decoded. Instead of investigating the reason behind a digestive issue like heartburn, they hand us a pill. Instead of simply sending us home with a prescription for plenty of rest and good nutrition when we have the flu, they hand us a prescription for antibiotics. While there are some doctors who will treat intestinal and systemic candidiasis, few medical doctors recognize it as a general health condition. Some of my clients have even had the unfortunate experience of having their concerns dismissed by their physicians. I remember one client telling me that when she asked if her skin rash could be from Candida, her doctor pulled out a coffee mug that read, "My MD trumps your Google search." Often, doctors only recognize and treat C. albicans overgrowth in cases of oral thrush, vaginal infections, hospital-acquired infections, or conditions associated with HIV/AIDS. This is because medical training teaches that Candida is more of a problem with patients who have severely compromised immune systems. I feel the lack and lag of science has kept the medical community in the dark about where the systemic origins of most diseases reside, in the microbiome and mycobiome. Medical textbooks don't offer detail about the critical importance of leaky gut and dysbiosis. Also, with antibiotics, hormone replacement drugs, birth control pills, and steroid drugs accounting for hundreds of billions of dollars in prescriptions written each year. In 2015 alone, pharmaceutical sales in the United States were reported to be nearly $374 billion. Our priorities may not be in the right place. Our medical system is very dogmatic, so I don't think we can expect anyone to admit that we've been deliberately overlooking, or at least wrongly medicating, so much disease anytime soon. The good news is that with my book, you now hold the answer to Candida-related illnesses in your very capable hands. You have the information to explain and validate your symptoms, plus the tools to significantly improve your health. Let's now move on to a more detailed look at how your digestive tract and immunity are involved in Candida-related disease processes, so you can better understand exactly why you'll focus on these factors so heavily during parts 2 and 3 of this book, the diet, supplementation, and maintenance plans. 2. The origin of disease. Every organ and system in your body is closely connected. The function of one impacts the function of another. A constant stream of communication takes place within our bodies, a kind of automatic feedback loop. So if one organ becomes compromised, another will try to compensate. The digestive and immune systems are no exception, and in fact, they are particularly interrelated. They rely on each other for support and good health, but this also means that if one isn't working efficiently, it puts more stress on the other. After all, roughly 70 to 80% of the immune system resides in gut-associated lymphoid tissue, GALT, located within the gastrointestinal tract. Because the gut's impact on immunity is so great, no matter what health issues a client has, I always start them off with my foundational program of cleansing and rebalancing the digestive system. This allows the body to begin its healing process from a far-reaching position of strength. The digestive and immune systems work together then to either sustain your health or contribute to health problems and disease. For our purposes, the Candida ball starts rolling from the time you ingest potential insults like antibiotics or sugary foods, which then leads to poor absorption of nutrients and minerals. Next, it progresses to an imbalance of microbes in or on the body called dysbiosis, which contributes to leaky gut syndrome and elimination issues. Finally, your liver function becomes compromised and immunity is weakened. The end result is disease. The following chart, viewable as well on the PDF enhancement, illustrates this progression simply and clearly, but I'd like to explore each factor individually to give you a better sense of how all the pieces come together in your body. Digestive tract and immunity. Antibiotic overuse. Ciprofloxacin, amoxicillin, azithromycin. Steroid overuse. Cortisone, prednisone. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Advil, ibuprofen. Tylenol, acetaminophen. Stress. Physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. Birth control pills. Chemotherapy, radiation. Heavy metals. Mercury, lead, cadmium, aluminum. Poor diet. Refined sugars and carbohydrates. Trans fats. Gluten. Dairy. Alcohol. Caffeine. GMO corn and soy. Could lead to maldigestion, which could lead to dysbiosis, leaky gut, and elimination problems, all of which could lead to compromised liver function, which could lead to a weakened immune system, which could lead to a compromised blood-brain barrier, which could lead to autoimmune disease, Alzheimer's, cancer, and other chronic progressive conditions. GI symptoms, the red flag. Because of the gut's close relationship with your immune system, GI problems are always an important signal that something is going wrong systemically. And Candida may be the very poison in the well. I'm always shocked when top medical specialists ignore diet and infection, including Candida, as the source of serious gastrointestinal conditions, including ulcerative colitis, inflammatory bowel disease, and Crohn's disease, even after standard treatments fail to help many patients. It's hard to ignore the symptoms of digestive distress, and for good reason. The gut is the center of our health. More than 2,500 years ago, Hippocrates famously said, "All disease begins in the gut." But in recent decades, those words seem to have been forgotten. Most physicians view the gastrointestinal tract as a simple mechanism for processing food, absorbing nutrients, and filtering out waste. Fortunately, the National Institute of Health's Human Microbiome Project, a research initiative launched in 2008, has brought the focus back onto the digestive tract as the center of health and well-being. Scientists tell us that there are 10 times more bacterial cells living inside the GI tract, particularly the stomach and intestines, than there are human cells in the entire body. The small and large intestines alone have a combined length of 20 to 25 feet, the width of a tennis court, if you stretch them out. A balanced ecosystem in the GI tract has a ratio of 80% healthy microorganisms to 20% unhealthy ones. Poor nutrition can upset this ratio and create poor digestion, enzyme deficiencies, elimination problems, and intestinal dysbiosis. These problems are not isolated conditions that affect just the digestive system. They affect other systems of the body, especially the immune system. Take Megan, for instance. We first met when she wrote to thank me for the first edition of The Candida Cure. An otherwise healthy 30-year-old professional, Megan had been dealing with digestive problems her entire life. "It seems like I always had an upset stomach, bloating, diarrhea, or constipation. It got worse when I was in college, and I had many embarrassing close calls, sharing a bathroom with a roommate. Then in my junior year, I got very sick. I went down to 108 pounds and was put in the infirmary. Nobody knew what was wrong with me, so they pumped me full of antibiotics. Things did get better, but a few months later, all of my symptoms came back. My doctor told me I had IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, and by then I also was questioning my ability to digest dairy. The doctor prescribed Align probiotic supplements, and that led me to read a few books on digestive disorders. And I did get some relief cutting out high fat, fried foods, and dairy. But soon I hit a wall, and I was miserable again. Megan visited specialists and underwent all kinds of medical tests and procedures. She tried out every nutritional philosophy under the sun, including paleo, blood type, low-fat and low-FODMAP diets. Eventually, she was diagnosed as gluten intolerant. She was also put on a proton pump inhibitor medication for acid reflux. Many of the clients I see are at their wits' end when they land in my office, seeking relief from digestive issues that have been making their lives miserable. They've been to many doctors, and they've spent thousands of dollars on treatments, diets, and medications, all to no avail. While I'm frustrated that the medical system has failed them, I'm always elated that they found me, so I can help connect the dots of their various symptoms. For Megan, her GI distress was caused by a bad case of candidiasis. Following my protocol turned her health around. Unlike Megan, whose disparate GI symptoms managed to stump all her physicians, my client Charlie, a 46-year-old website designer, had been suffering from what his doctors agreed was ulcerative colitis for 15 years. Having a bona fide diagnosis, however, didn't get him any closer to relief, much less a cure. I can go months and be completely symptom-free, or I can be housebound for months at a time, he told me. And by housebound, I mean that I have to go to the bathroom 10 or more times a day, with absolutely no advance notice. I can be sitting at my desk, and I have to jump up and run. Typically, it would start when I'd wake up, last through the morning, and then get worse again at night. Charlie told me that the disease had really limited his life. Because of his irritable bowel, he was forced to work from home. Even taking his son to school was a challenge, and when the disease was in a flare-up, even a simple task could be a real issue. When Charlie was experiencing a flare-up, he'd often become depressed. He tried everything from supplements and probiotics to steroids and Vicodin, but nothing ever offered lasting relief. Eventually, he found a specialist in irritable bowel syndrome and colitis, who thought he could crack the case. Charlie said he was administered a series of food allergy tests, and in the end, he was told he could eat anything but wheat, dairy, and almonds. But allergies weren't the issue. It was only in a follow-up visit that the doctor mentioned, as an aside, "You know, Candida doesn't show up on tests." Luckily, those words led Charlie to my program. Charlie's doctor made a good point. Because yeast can be evasive, hiding in tissues and organs, Candida doesn't always show up on labs or in stool samples. Even if an individual is exhibiting all the symptoms, current tests won't show it. However, the more important takeaway from Charlie's story is that most of the time, doctors don't think to test for Candida because they're looking for the wrong catalyst. But now, you know better. When your digestive system breaks down. When your body becomes burdened from the antagonists we've discussed, antibiotic overuse, stress, a poor diet, and so on, the first sign of dysfunction that occurs in the gut is called maldigestion. Simply put, this is when the body is unable to properly break down food due to a lack of gastric juices, primarily hydrochloric acid in the stomach, not chewing enough, pancreatic enzyme deficiencies, overeating, hiatal hernia, and stress. Drinking too much water or liquid with meals can also potentially interfere with the acid levels and bile needed by the stomach to properly digest your food. Another reason for maldigestion that's often missed, but can cause distress, is improper food combining. Not everyone has to follow this, but those with digestive and GI issues can find relief by following a few simple rules, like eating proteins with vegetables and not starches, or eating starches with vegetables. Fruits are best eaten alone or with nuts. Fats do well with everything except fruit. Enzyme deficiencies are another major contributor to maldigestion. Enzymes are proteins that accelerate the chemical reaction known as metabolism. While the body does manufacture its own enzymes, it must also obtain them from food. When foods are processed, refined, or cooked at temperatures above 118 degrees, their enzymes are destroyed. Raw or lightly steamed foods, on the other hand, are rich in enzymes. Signs of enzyme deficiency include bloating, constipation, hair loss, weak nails, fatigue, headaches, diarrhea, rashes, acne, and allergies. Some of the causes of this depletion include pasteurization and cooking at high temperatures that kill enzymes, heavy metals, pesticides and herbicides, and pancreatitis. When the body is lacking in enzymes, the pancreas, which secretes digestive enzymes, takes on a greater load. The pancreas also produces insulin, the hormone that maintains blood sugar levels. Therefore, diets loaded with refined carbohydrates and sugar, plus cooked and processed foods, overwork the pancreas. This makes you more susceptible to yeast overgrowth because of increased blood sugar levels and undigested food particles. When food goes undigested, the food particles can irritate the intestinal walls and cause increased permeability. This is to say, maldigestion is another cause of leaky gut syndrome. The undigested food particles can then cross the mucosal lining where they enter the bloodstream. Your immune system reacts to these particles as foreign invaders and creates an antibody response by sending white blood cells to the rescue. However, this activity, this immune response, creates inflammation and often results in allergic reactions and food sensitivities. In addition, the undigested food particles ferment in the gut, which fuels fungal overgrowth. Symptoms of maldigestion include belching, bloating, gas, abdominal pain, and heartburn. And you can't eliminate your elimination issues. It shouldn't come as a surprise that when you can't digest your food properly, you either won't eliminate enough or you will eliminate too much. Though with Candida, constipation seems to be more prevalent than diarrhea. Physicians tend to underestimate the importance of elimination for overall health. Some of my clients have told me that their doctors advised them that daily bowel movements aren't necessary, and I couldn't disagree more. While it's true that everyone's digestion cycle is a little different, with some bodies taking 12 to 24 hours, those taking up to 74 hours are not healthy. It is ideal to have at least one bowel movement a day. Constipation can be caused by a host of factors, including adhesions, fibroids, and SIBO. A poor diet, one filled with processed grains and not enough fiber and water, is most often the culprit for poor elimination. 5 years ago, Dan, a 30-year-old with a hectic work schedule, came to one of my nutrition courses because another client had told him the anti-candida diet could solve his problems with constipation and its secondary symptoms of brain fog, headaches, reactive hypoglycemia, and fatigue. He only had a bowel movement every 2 to 3 days and was bloated and gassy. I was pretty much raised on canned vegetables and snack cakes, he told me. After my 90-day program, Dan's constipation was gone for good. Not only did he feel better, but he also felt liberated from the junk food cravings that slowed him down. There was no question that candidiasis was his problem, because maldigestion and constipation created a fertile breeding ground for yeast. Constipation is not only uncomfortable, it can be a serious health problem. When your bowels are backed up, a condition called ototoxicity can occur, which is when toxins aren't released from your body in a timely manner and become reabsorbed into the bloodstream. Constipation can make the pH level in the large intestine, which should otherwise be slightly acidic to neutral, more alkaline too. This creates a breeding environment for yeast, parasites, bacteria, and viruses to thrive, and for Candida to turn into a fungal form. Dysbiosis, leaky gut, and a stressed-out liver create disease. Maldigestion and intestinal dysbiosis work hand in hand when it comes to feeding disease. I like to define intestinal dysbiosis as an imbalance of several microorganisms in your gut flora, including yeast, bacteria, parasites, and viruses, that upsets the digestive system and interferes with nutrient absorption. Put another way, it's an imbalance of good to bad bacteria in the gut. When unhealthy microorganisms take over the gut, usually as a result of poor diet, excess alcohol, illness, heavy metals, medications, aging, and stress, your immune system becomes overly stressed to defend your body from these infections. Your gut then becomes a portal for infection, undigested proteins, and toxins to compromise the immune system. And it sets you up for inflammation and ultimately diagnoses that can include autoimmune disorders, diabetes, neurological conditions, breast cancer, and colorectal cancer. Candida overgrowth is one of the most common causes of intestinal dysbiosis. There are many causes of leaky gut syndrome, as I've briefly mentioned earlier. These antagonists include microbes, mycotoxins, medications, alcohol, undigested food particles, toxins, chemicals, poor diet, chronic stress, and gluten. And when leaky gut is unaddressed over time, inevitable conditions like allergies, GI problems, fatigue, eczema, and autoimmune disease arise. Again, leaky gut syndrome occurs when the intestinal membrane becomes porous, which then allows undigested proteins, microbes, and toxins into the bloodstream. This process involves the wearing away of tight junctions found in the mucosal lining. Think tiny little gateways that are meant to keep stuff inside your gut from sneaking out and into your blood. But when your intestine's mucosal lining becomes irritated, inflamed, and more permeable, those tight junctions get worn out. Candida, NSAIDs like aspirin and ibuprofen, poor diet, heavy metals, and the ingestion of certain foods like gluten all irritate the gut and loosen up these junctions, leaving behind microscopic holes that make the gut leaky. A leaky gut makes your liver's job more difficult by forcing it to break down the undigested proteins and pathogens that have trickled into the blood via your now permeable gut wall. The liver has many functions. It converts glucose to glycogen, produces cholesterol and bile, and stores vitamins such as A, D, K, and B12, though detoxification is its primary job. But if the liver can't keep up with demand, excess toxins will be stored in the liver or recirculate in the body. When toxins recirculate via your bloodstream or the lymphatic system, which carries these dead cells, waste, toxins, and pathogens to the lymph nodes, they can get stored in tissues and organs, particularly fatty organs such as the brain, breasts, and hormonal glands. Essentially, these systems become overloaded and can't protect you as they normally would. When pathogens and foreign organisms breach the gastrointestinal wall, immune cells inside the gut do their best to produce antibodies to neutralize these invaders and protect you from harm. This protective mechanism, carried out by white blood cells, is called the inflammatory response. It causes both a rise in body temperature and the production of these cells, all in the effort to isolate, destroy, and even expel the invasion. There are two types of inflammation, acute and chronic. For example, when you cut your finger, your immune system comes to the rescue, and you experience the swelling, heat, pain, and redness of acute inflammation. Inflammation becomes chronic when your immune system continues to respond to a threat, as it does when it's triggered by a poor diet, allergens, and infections, fungal, bacterial, viral, or parasitical. In fact, Tufts University molecular biologist Carol Kumamoto finds that low-level inflammation promotes colonization of candida, and this colonization in turn promotes further inflammation, which then delays healing. Over time, microbes and toxins settle in organs and tissues such as the liver, brain, lungs, skin, and lymphatic system. What's more, when it comes to neurological disease specifically, postdoctoral fellow Antoine Laveau and professor and researcher Jonathan Kipnis, both at the University of Virginia School of Medicine, have newly discovered a breakthrough understanding of the brain's immune response. They've found that the brain has its own system of lymphatic vessels. In a sense, its own immune system. Discovering a pathway for immune cells to exit the central nervous system raises the question of whether disruption to this route is involved in neurological disorders associated with immune dysfunction, such as MS, meningitis, and Alzheimer's disease. As Kipnis said in a 2015 article in the online journal NIH Research Matters, we think these vessels may play a role in the pathogenesis of neurological conditions that have an immune component. As you can see, imbalances in the digestive system impact the immune system in various complicated and cumulative ways. And disease is the inevitable and unfortunate consequence of this process. My anti-candida diet and antifungal regimen, however, can not only reduce inflammation, but also restore your immune system and replenish your gut, so your whole body returns to its optimal and most vibrant state. Encouragement from Deb. My beginning symptoms were fatigue, poor memory, lack of focus, constipation, low motivation, and creaky knees. I followed the anti-candida diet and recommendations religiously. Giving up coffee and sugar was hard at first, but after a few days, I felt better. As the weeks passed, people started commenting on how much better I looked. I knew the program was working. Then the most amazing thing happened. About 3 months after starting the program, I noticed a normal elimination. My energy level shot up, and I could focus on my work. Because I felt so much better physically, my spirit soared. Now, after 4 months, I've lost 15 pounds, and a routine blood test revealed the lowest cholesterol level in my adult life. 3. Using the mind to help heal the body. Like many ancient healing traditions, naturopathy was born from the belief that the body can heal itself when it has the right natural support and resources to do so. As a naturopath myself, I'm a proponent of related philosophies embraced by the French physiologist Claude Bernard, a man of great academic integrity, and an early proponent of applying the scientific method to 19th century medicine. Bernard's achievements were both impressive and vast. From pioneering the study of digestion, to studying the role of the pancreas, to the discovery of glycogen, a complex sugar substance stored in our liver and muscles. Bernard also believed our bodies possess a natural healing state that he called the milieu intérieur, environment within. He believed that this habitat comes into balance when the physical, mental, emotional, social, and spiritual aspects of life are also in equilibrium. The state he described is what's commonly known as homeostasis. In part 2 of this book, I'll provide you with every tool you need to bring your physical body back into balance. But right now, I'd like to focus on the mental, emotional, social, and spiritual aspects of healing that are also important to reaching homeostasis. Given what I've learned from my own healing, plus the turnarounds in my clients, I'm certain that these factors will apply to you too. Putting your mind in the right place. Naturopaths believe that the body has the inherent ability to restore, balance, and maintain good health, and that physical, mental, and spiritual balance is the means to achieve it. The connection between these core areas of wellness must be nourished and valued. This means that eating a healthy diet and managing your stress levels are just as crucial to your overall health as your mindset, emotions, and spiritual life. Mental and emotional strength are imperative to beating an illness like candidiasis. It helps to harness both to see your 90-day program through. Even so, you don't have to be perfect to heal your body. You simply need to be diligent and tenacious. Remember, there will be some days when you just don't want to eat what you're supposed to, or you just don't have the energy to exercise. If that's the case, then don't. get back on track the next day. You are developing a pattern of lifelong change. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And your healing will happen at a pace that feels right for you. In addition to a little mental fortitude, a positive outlook is important for success, plus your ability to sustain your enthusiasm for the program. Though your initial reaction to giving up certain foods, for instance, might be to feel overwhelmed or disgruntled, let's try not to view the program as a deprivation plan. Rather, take it in 30-day increments and consider reframing the challenge. Shift your perspective a bit. Instead of thinking about how upset you are about removing foods from your life, focus on how great removing inflammation and infection from your body will make you feel. Recognize that the program won't just help you get healthy now, but help you age in a healthy way too. Establishing a thoughtful, steady, and invested support system can also help you remain positive and proactive. You don't even need a big group of people to stand by you. Having a spouse, partner, or friend who regularly checks in, asks how you're feeling, or even jumps on board with your protocol can be a real lifesaver. My client Andrew came to me with general symptoms of maldigestion, and after just 2 months together, he was completely symptom-free. One of his keys to success? "I could have never done this without my wife," he said. "She was perfectly healthy, but she immediately went on the diet with me for support. She threw out all her favorite snacks and sweets so I wouldn't be tempted." You can also find a tremendous amount of support in chat rooms and Candida-related Facebook groups. Here you can share recipes, tips, information, and even emotional support from people all over the world going through the same challenges and with similar symptoms. Throughout the program, it will help to watch out for negative and fear-based thinking. I understand that dealing with a body that feels out of control, teeming with random, seemingly inexplicable, and often debilitating symptoms, is downright scary. I've been there, and I have felt it in spades. But you may not realize the number of negative thoughts you have each day, whether they're about your health, job, relationships, what have you, and how much they impact your physical health. Most of my clients don't. An abundance of negative thoughts can lead to more stress in the body, which releases hormones like cortisol that slow down your healing. They can impact your gut and cause dysbiosis. Heightened anxiety or anger leads to a queasy stomach, knots, and irritable bowel syndrome symptoms. Stress also shuts down digestive function, which fuels bacterial and yeast overgrowth and leads to dysbiosis. This, of course, impacts immune strength, as you learned in Chapter 2. I've actually seen complex cases in which a nutritional program isn't enough to heal a client. Mental and emotional roadblocks, say a toxic relationship that brings daily stress that's harming the immune system, need to be removed. But when you find ways to neutralize fearful and negative thoughts, a smoother healing path unfolds. Healing happens faster when there's a synergistic rhythm between the body and mind. But don't just take my word for it. Candace Pert, PhD, was an American neuroscientist and pharmacologist who discovered the opiate receptor, the cellular binding site for endorphins in the brain. She believed that receptor-active peptides, such as neuropeptides and immune system cytokines, were the agents that allowed for communication between the brain and body. Dr. Pert believed that the emotions we think about are stored in the body, at these receptors, and that expressing our emotions in a healthy way is key to integrating the mind and body. She also believed that negative emotions, such as heartache, guilt, and anger, can stay trapped in the body. And I couldn't agree more. In fact, in a 2004 study out of Southwestern University Medical Center in Dallas, Texas, scientists discovered that our experiences don't just live in our brains, but are recorded at the cellular level in our bodies. They theorized that these cellular memories, so to speak, help spark illness and disease. One technique that helps my clients release negative thought patterns is expressing themselves aloud. The first step here is to become aware of what thought or feeling is bothering you in that moment. Address it out loud by saying, "I am thinking," or "I am feeling," and then just blurt it out. It's a great first step to accepting how you feel and dealing with it. For instance, if you're a sugarholic who's struggling to keep up with the program and continually think about feeling tempted by and deprived of sugar, say aloud, "I am so angry that I can't have my chocolate. I just want a little piece every day. I accept that I'm feeling deprived and frustrated." Then take a breath and say, "This program isn't going to last forever. I can have chocolate again when I'm done. I have committed to doing at least 30 days, and I can do this." You can then take another deep breath, drink a glass of water, and have a snack that is on the program. When you express your feelings, acknowledge your reality, and then admit that you're okay with it in this way, you free yourself from, rather than feed into, a cycle of playing a negative loop in your head, which only ingrains it deeper. It helps to replace the frustrated thought or feeling with a positive one, plus a neutral action, like taking a deep breath. Most helpful of all, perhaps, may be to focus on how much better you feel as time goes on. Concentrate on the progress your body makes and how powerful it must be to heal itself with your support. Know that your body is doing everything it can to help you and is not fighting against your best interests. Pay attention to your spirit. When healing my own MS, I wasn't just focused on tackling Candida and detoxifying the body. I made it a point to address all components of the mind-body-spirit equation, the last of which ended up carrying more of an influence than I initially thought it would. For me, it was critical that I felt connected to God, which gave me hope that I'd heal, and helped me to trust and remain devoted to following my diet protocol. I've come to believe that having faith and a spiritual connection to a higher power is essential to healing and remaining motivated to see a program through. One of the best ways I know to connect to your spiritual side is to explore meditation and yoga, especially since studies show that relieving stress, especially when you're ill, is actually easier when you feel connected to the spiritual aspects of life. Research on meditation shows declines in self-reported measures of anxiety, stress, anger, and fear. You can find great meditations on YouTube or apps such as Calm and Headspace. I also encourage visualizations like this one. At the end of every day, visualize putting all the stuff of your day, including problems and responsibilities, in a briefcase and closing it. Remind yourself that you can reopen the briefcase in the morning, but come bedtime, it's time to rest and restore the body. Other therapeutic rituals like chanting, going for a walk in nature, prayer, journaling, saying affirmations, or just making the time to be alone can help you connect to a deeper part of yourself and offer an opportunity to nurture a relationship with a higher power. God, spirit, the universe, figures of faith, your higher self, or whatever it is that you believe in and that brings you peace and hope. Another terrific way to tap into your spiritual side when healing is to listen to your intuition. I find that once clients are educated about Candida and how to eliminate it, they become more in tune with how to listen to their body and even track the mechanics of how it's functioning. This is particularly key because it leads to self-reliance and knowing when to recognize symptoms and see the most targeted clinicians you can. Most wonderful of all is that I've found that as your body heals from an illness like Candida, your mind and soul move toward homeostasis as well. This is to say that when your healing is complete, your entire being is now revitalized too. Along the way, Your thoughts become more positive, your mood improves, and you feel empowered to accomplish more than you ever thought you could, and hopeful about your new beginning. Encouragement from Carla. After many years of living with migraines, asthma, digestive problems, fatigue, and hormone imbalances, after seeing several doctors and having tests performed and never finding anything that worked to improve my health, I found this protocol. It's been like a miracle and definitely a life-changing experience. For the first time in as long as I can remember, I feel great, have energy, and best of all, there's no more pain. It is such a wonderful feeling. Yes, I had to make dietary and life changes. And yes, some of them are challenging to follow. But I only have to think of how great I feel to know it's so worth it. Since I've followed the program, my health, mood, and quality of life have never been better. 4. Candida Detox. In part 2 of this book, you'll begin my protocol to kill off as much fungus and excess yeast as you can to heal your candidiasis. Remember, you will never fully rid the body of yeast, nor do you want to. It is a natural part of a healthy, supportive internal ecosystem. So again, balance is what we're going for here. Achieving this goal requires a two-pronged strategy. First, taking an antifungal supplement to kill the yeast overgrowth. And second, modifying your diet to stop feeding the yeast in your body and keep it from overgrowing. You will do both at the same time for the full 90 days, along with cleansing and support for your liver and gallbladder. In this chapter, I'll focus on how to use antifungal supplements to get rid of your overgrowth, detoxify your body from die-off, and troubleshoot the way die-off can make you feel. To me, detoxification is like hitting a reset button on your gut and immune systems to help your entire body function optimally again. It's worth the effort. What will my detox feel like? In my experience, I have found yeast and fungus to be evasive, but stealthy. They hide out in organs and tissues, and therefore blood and stool tests don't yield conclusive results. This further allows them to thrive. Some clients even doubt they have a candida issue for this reason. That is, until they detox. Their die-off reactions make them acutely aware that their body is fighting a nasty battle on their behalf. You can feel it happening. Starting a program that involves an antifungal protocol and food elimination can create what's called a Jarisch-Herxheimer reaction. A Herxheimer reaction, or Herx for short, in your body. Here, you experience a host of physical symptoms that can last from a few days to a week or two. And for those with more severe conditions, like diabetes or autoimmune or chronic respiratory diseases, it will go on for longer. As your body shifts into a self-healing mode, its cells release toxins and dead pathogens into the blood, and your elimination organs may not be able to get rid of them quickly enough. They then recirculate through the body, causing flu-like symptoms, abdominal distress, body aches, headaches, diarrhea, nausea, fatigue, fever, brain fog, and a worsening of your existing symptoms. Cleansing will make you feel worse before you feel better. But think of it this way. A Herxheimer reaction tells you that the program is working and your body is doing its best to heal. The beginning of your 90-day program is when your most intense die-off symptoms will take place. In your second and third month, you'll introduce a liver formula that may invite some mild die-off, but the bulk of discomfort happens in the beginning. If you were to stop the program for a while and go back to eating poorly, then resume the program, your die-off symptoms would likely recur. Yet another incentive to stick with the plan once you've started. Detox is nasty, says my longtime client, Christy. About 2 to 3 weeks after starting the protocol, I felt like I had the flu. I was extremely cold, nauseous, and had a splitting headache. Drinking huge amounts of water helped to flush the dying candida out of my body. But once it passed, I felt incredible. By then, I'd also lost 8 pounds. My body started to really like what I was doing. The most important part of helping your body cleanse itself of cellular debris and dying pathogens is to make sure that all your elimination pathways, your kidneys, circulatory system, bowels, lungs, liver, and skin, are supported and able to do their jobs. When it comes to healing from candida, it really is a group effort. Cleansing your kidneys and bloodstream. Your kidneys are 2 small bean-shaped organs found at the base of your rib cage on the backside of your body. They filter around 150 quarts of blood, which produces 1 to 2 quarts of urine each day. Your kidneys work in conjunction with your bloodstream to remove waste from your body during the detox process. To cleanse your blood and kidneys during your detox, I recommend drinking a lot of water. You'll aim to drink 1 ounce of water per 2 pounds of body weight, plus 4 cups of red clover tea, either hot or cold, to help purify your blood. See Chapter 8, Essential Supplements, for more information. So, for example, if you weigh 140 pounds, you would aim to drink about 80 ounces, 6 to 7 12-ounce bottles, of water each day, plus the tea. You may need to slowly work up to 4 cups of tea over time. It's okay to start out with just 1 cup or 2 a day. While red clover tea doesn't contain caffeine, it may initially keep you awake at night because it stimulates circulation, which can cause insomnia. If you're affected in this way, not everyone is, don't drink the tea past 5 o'clock p.m. A note on red clover tea. If you have any of the following health conditions, you should abstain from drinking red clover tea and instead drink 1 cup of hot water with fresh squeezed lemon first thing in the morning on an empty stomach. You can also drink 1 to 2 cups of dandelion root tea or organic white tea. Just keep in mind that the latter contains a small amount of caffeine. Do not drink red clover tea if you have grass allergies, suffer from ulcers, have been diagnosed with acid reflux, are currently taking blood-thinning medicines. If you are taking any kind of medication at all, please be sure to check with your doctor for potential interactions before starting to drink red clover tea. If your die-off symptoms are so intense that you're feeling uncomfortable, you'll want to make detoxification easier on your bloodstream and kidneys. One way to do this is by cutting down the dose of your antifungals and red clover tea, and then slowly increase them again as you begin to feel better. There is no rush to reach full dosages. In fact, you might need to take 1 pill or drink 1 cup of tea for a full week before increasing a dose. You can also take molybdenum or sarsaparilla to help you tolerate detox. Chelated molybdenum binds with fungal endotoxins such as acetaldehyde, making you less symptomatic. Sarsaparilla pills or tincture also help with die-off because they bind with the endotoxins from bacteria and yeast. Ginger tea is great for nausea or a queasy or cramped stomach. If you have a headache that just won't lift, you can take an aspirin or ibuprofen to take the edge off. Remember, die-off symptoms are absolutely normal in the beginning of the program and will pass. Before we move on, it's crucial to distinguish between an allergy and a die-off reaction. With an allergic reaction, you will experience hives, swelling of the throat, or intense itching on your body. If you have any of these symptoms, stop the antifungal, all supplements, and tea. Wait 3 days to let your body calm down. Then reintroduce the antifungal, each supplement, and the tea, 1 at a time. Note how your body responds for 2 days before adding another supplement or the tea. If you react again, discontinue that supplement or tea altogether. Detoxing and supporting your gallbladder and liver. The gallbladder and liver work to filter and break down chemicals and toxins that need to be removed from the body via the kidneys and bowels. They too work in tandem during your cleansing process. The gallbladder contains bile secreted from the liver. Bile, the emulsifying fluid stored